Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, once again, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. Welcome back everybody. I know this show's been a long time coming. It's kind of hard to do shows when you're the sole person trying to kind of corral everything, and as of late it's been harder and harder to kind of find the motivation to gain new content, trying to herd squirrels to get guests and everything else. It's real, honestly, folks, it's kind of hard to do that. But and plus, I want to try to walk away from, hey, X show or X movie is way too woke or way too problematic for a lot of folks, or dive deep into what those problems might be, what people are saying on both sides. And it riding that wave can be very tough. But I do want to talk about something that I should have commented on a few weeks ago when I finally got all the numbers in. I know the end of July came and went. And as you probably hear this, hell, August kind of came and went. But there are at least two things I want to talk about. One is the numbers that were kind of released for Otakon and kind of what happened at Monster Mania. I should say Monster Mania in Jersey. I don't remember where exactly in Jersey it's held, but it's held in Jersey. And let's start with a little bit of what happened at Otakon. As we kind of complained about Otakon, here are back episodes in regards to that. We got out the final numbers in. What we were hearing is, hey, the final numbers that we got was first and foremost, hey, 35,000. The numbers that we got, hey, we're looking at the number of 35,000. 35,000, yeah, that's definitely, that's 10,000 more than last year. Heck, it's more than 14,000 more than last year. Then within like 2 or 3 days, I got the email from Otakon Press saying, no, it wasn't 35,000. No. It was 40,000 people that came, that bought tickets. Correction, memberships. And a lot of folks have, at least in the group, that stated all the problems that we stated, that, you know, long lines, or kind of shared with all of you that we were getting in, that lines were an issue. It took way longer to get in due to checks and everything else, and the increased number of people there, and that people wanted their money backs, and the whole back and forth amongst the fans saying you're not going to get the money backs because you're not buying tickets to this event, you're buying a membership. And that was one of our complaints about Otakon, that their membership were at, in the early, late 90s and early 2000s, when they started Otakon, then buying a membership to their website, and which included tickets to Otakon itself, the event at Baltimore, now at DC, that, heck, that was a good thing. You know, you went to Otakon's boards on their website. You got a year membership. Now, with the advent of Reddit, 4chan, Facebook, YouTube, this whole section, having a membership is pointless. You're buying tickets to not a membership. Having their own board on their site is pointless. Why go to that board where you can create your own public Facebook group or Facebook page about Otakon, where you could have your own mods and not have snitches or their own little Otakon snitches reporting to those at Otakon themselves. But it's that aspect. It's that die hard problems that, you know, that's there. And Otakon can say, we don't have to give you a refund for your ticket because you purchased a membership to our site, not tickets to an event. The tickets to the event was just a bonus. And yeah, we don't see it like that nowadays. But the problem is with 40,000. I was talking to Big Candy, the show's kind of part-time co-host and sounding board, and he kind of agreed that, yeah, with my thoughts in regards to this, and my thoughts being that when it comes to planning this event, and he kind of shed some light into it, that most convention centers have to have enough people on staff for at least convention center staff, not events that have convention center staff on hand for any anticipated people at that event. And that's probably one issue. If that's the case, then still, when Otakon creates an event for, let's say, this time, or should say, for 2023, they shouldn't be looking at 40,000, like, or last year's numbers or currently year's numbers, because that's probably what happened this year. Last year in 2021, they probably said, hey, we only got 21,000, 22,000 people. Let's give the convention center, that's what we're looking at. Maybe 25,000, 30,000 people. That's a bad idea. That's always a bad idea. And that's where Big Candy kind of agreed. And especially when I said, no, every year, those at Otakon should be saying, how many people are we expecting this year? Well, what they're thinking is, well, last year we got 20,000, maybe we should do 25. No, what they should have been thinking was this, for 2023, or what they should have thought for this year, 2022, was 40. What's the max size limit of the venue? And okay, that venue is 42,000, total people. That's the limit. Well, with this, with everything, 42,000, that's how, but last year we got 21,000 people, and no, this year, every year we should expect 42,000 people. Doesn't matter if we get 25, 30, 35,000 people in, we gotta expect 25,000 people. And because that's one aspect, and that would have helped this year to get people in, get people out, have people that had mobility issues or what have you, service animals and all that. And not to mention the convention center and those who are controlling events in the DC metro area that have this whole, I don't want to say fascist or anything like that, this whole tight grip on the aspect of having events or quote-unquote solicitation where, hey, you're selling bottled water across the street. How dare you? Let's call the cops on these people trying to make an extra dollar that we're not getting, that we're not getting because they're selling water to people in line that are overheating in the summer. How dare they take money from us? That's the problem. That's the issue. That's the secondary issue. Because when you have 90 degree heat out and the feel-like temperature being 100, 110 degrees, and people sweating in probably cosplay or what, or sweating in general, waiting 2 or 3 or more hours in line, they need water. What are you doing about it? Are you having your own people go out to sell water to these people? No, you're just standing around with your thumbs up your asses, if they really want to order, they gotta wait until they get inside. No, you're causing injuries, motherfucker. Literally, you're causing problems. Wait until you get lawsuits from people saying, hey, this is an issue. How much money is it going to cost you in regards to lawsuits or lost ticket sales in regards to people not coming back and thinking that either the event that you're hosting or the event says, you know what, we're not coming back here anymore because you're fucking dicks. But a lot of times the event, whether it be Otakon or not, sucking your dick in regards to this is a issue. That's why a lot of folks might be going to smaller venues, whether it be a venue such as Four State or Creature Feature or Monster Mania, or an event similar to like that, that are getting more and more that care about their fans and are more aware about what's going on in there. Like, hey, maybe this venue holds maybe 5,000 people. We got to figure that, find out a way to kind of limit that. Hey, sometimes they miscalculate. Sometimes, you know, shit happens. It happened with Monster Mania back in 2019. Yeah, shit happens. They got, you know, they miscalculated. And it went down a rabbit hole. They probably, since then, corrected themselves. But we'll get into what happened at this year's Monster Mania in a moment. But you think, you know, what happened with Otakon is going to happen again? Yes, it's going to happen again, because the convention center, the Washington, D.C. Convention Center, doesn't give a fuck. And neither, because they don't give a fuck, Otakon doesn't give a fuck. And from what I've been hearing, which, yeah, is alleged and possible hearsay, they don't give a fuck no matter what. And as stated in our previous, you know, episodes, there's been blatant racism, you know, on both sides, from what I've been told. Both from the convention center and from the fans as well, according to some of the stuff I've been hearing. Does the Otakon give a fuck? No. No. Why? Because, according to them, and this is my thoughts alone, you're not, the fans that come, you're not weeb enough for them. You're not the top tier fan. That's right. You're not the top tier fan for them. You're a Dragon Ball Z fan? Oh, you're not a Hero Academia fan. Therefore, fuck you. Oh, you're not a fan of this. Whatever the current high-end fandom is, you're not, you know, you're not an anime fan. You're a classic anime fan. You know what? Fuck you. You're not a class, you're not one of us. Like I said in previous episodes, the cracks of them being elitist has been formed, has been showing. And we kind of uncovered those cracks. Yes, they granted us access for the past God knows how many years, since 2017. But they treated us, as stated, they treated us like the fucking bastard child of a bastard child of a bastard child. Stand corrected. They treated us like the red-headed bastard child of a red-headed bastard child of a red-headed bastard child of a red-headed bastard child. Heck, our show tries to bring in or show you, all of you out there that might not be fans of this genre, what this genre is about. And they have been pretty much, hey, you're not a diehard anime podcast with 15,000 fans, you know, and 3,000 per week aspect. So we gotta bring the hammer down on you. Yet the motherfuckers that are diehard anime podcasts or and/or YouTubers that might be getting more views and/or listens than you, we'll let them slide. So next year, if we get a chance to go, we get a chance to have the funds to go all 3 days, or one day for that matter, through the metro and back, and we get the aspect of, hey, don't do this, I'll be the first to say, yo, you let these motherfuckers in years past do it. Why? Why'd you let them do it? Did you bring the band hammer down on them and smack their hand and tell them, don't you do that shit? Yet, when it comes to me doing the same thing, it's, no, 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 you can't do that. Fuck you. Fuck you. Let's speak to your higher-ups. And one of the questions that Big Candy asked me is, like, is this a type of for profit and for anything like that, my response to him was, Otacon in and upon itself is a 501c. They're classified as a nonprofit. But their higher ups, the ones that, as far as I can understand, the higher ups, whatever profit or whatever it goes beyond, let's say renting the space, the tables, etc., etc., what extra gets brought in, they get paid, meaning the person in charge, the founder gets paid, the president, the vice president gets paid, the person in charge of marketing gets paid, the people in charge of social media, they get something. Maybe 10, 12,000 a year, maybe 15,000 a year, maybe 30,000 a year. But everybody that helps run the floor or helps run the ticket booth is a quote unquote volunteer. Volunteer. That's it. A volunteer. Other than that, they get paid. Above that, they get paid. Somebody is in charge, they get paid. They're third party. There might be like I said, there have been times in the past they'll sweep shit underneath the rug. Sweep shit under the rug in regards to certain aspects. And I've heard this stuff from people, both fans and people who volunteered for their event. Yeah, it happens. Well, will the higher ups do anything? No, they just sweep it on the rug. They ignore it. That's what I've heard. Yes. Is it hearsay? Yes. Can be. I'm critiquing Otacon. I'm putting them under the spotlight. Whether y'all believe me or not, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. If you want me to give a fuck, I'll be more than happy to hand you a shovel and ask you to start digging, because I ain't digging for the fucks. Because I want them to treat everybody the same. And if folks cancel, hey, we don't like your name, fuck you. It doesn't matter the name. It doesn't matter the whole aspect. And that's why I'm taking the aspect of fire. If you don't like what I say, I don't care. Yeah, there are people out there with, this, that, and other in their name. They get more followers, they get more listens, they get more this, that, and other thing, because their name is different. Yeah, whatever. I'm trying what I can. I'm exercising burnout for the past 7 years in regards to this. And to see them succeed, easily get people on, easily get celebrities on. Yeah, I'll show. Yeah, these are C-listers, D-listers, E-listers. And whereas when I approach these people to be on my show, oh, $50, please. Yeah, you are. Did you charge X podcast or Y podcast to be on the show? No. Why? Oh, they're bigger than you. But you're charging me to be on their show. You're charging me for you to be on my show to talk about something, to promote something. Yes. But you didn't charge them. Yes. Talk about hypocrisy. I can't get these people because I'm big enough. They won't promote me. Or I need certain people. I have to, in essence, unzip pants and nuzzle up against crotches for promoters and other folks to be a part of things. Yeah, that's why when it comes to certain people that I surround myself, that ask me, it's like, yo, can you do this? Can you do this? She's a part of, what we're doing. Can you speak to this person? And I'm like, sure, let's speak, let's talk about it. That's the big thing. That's the big aspect of this. And that's why I'm happy when I approach, like, what happened at 4 State with the screen panel. Initially was going to be with, like, Matt and the person that he was speaking with. Then it turned out it was between this other podcaster and the guest. And it's like, hey, since the terms between me and this person have changed, do you mind? And we have had a great conversation and had a connection. And I have no grievance with them. Because, I'm willing to speak and make a deal with them and share content. I have no problem with that. And that builds a good bond with between the two of us. Now, that's what I like. That's what I deal. And I keep my head to the... I want to take my head and my ear to the ground when it comes to speaking with other indie filmmakers and all that. It's just a matter of talking to them and asking when it's available for them, because they are very busy people. A lot of these folks, like Matt and Mark and everybody else, they have a lot of things they have to do in order to get funds for to do what they do. And let's take, I'm not throwing him under the bus, like Wesley. We helped him, you know, film certain stuff in regards to his new film, Zero. We helped him. We were on the set. We done behind the scenes stuff to help promote his movie and so forth and so on. Spoke to the people behind the scenes. He's a great guy, but he has, you know, he has a 9-to-5 as well. He has to earn money to bring in to help put things together. So that's the aspect. So it's hard for him to, you know, okay, let's compare notes and have you on to talk to you about this and what his thoughts are. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, and that's why I like working local events and speaking to local people, because it's hard to do. It's easier to speak to these people and to make those connections and have that circle. Now, to kind of move on what happened at Monstermania this past, I want to say August 17th or mid-August. And what happened was, is not only were there, again, it's, I guess, for a lot of events, there is an increased crowds going to these events. After there was a, between what happened in 2020, and yeah, some aspects were still happening in 2021. There were still restrictions and so forth and so on. A lot of smaller venues or smaller events like Four State and Monstermania probably couldn't happen due to certain local restrictions, where larger events like Otakon and Baltimore were able to happen due to gathering enough funds to do what they were able to do, where smaller events or smaller events and venues were harder to do or hard to maintain those goals or what they wanted to do. And thus, this year, 2022, a lot of people were going to, like, Four State had record numbers. Otakon, as we were talking about, had record numbers. Monstermania apparently had record numbers this year. Long lines to... It was, again, the perfect obviously the perfect storm in regards to Monstermania. Yeah, they had everything in regards to making sure everything didn't get overloaded with number of people in their venue. Just that the lines were long. These are the complaints that I was hearing. Lines were long, number one. Number two, they were moving slow. They were confusing in some cases. Yeah, that's to be expected. And that's fine and dandy. That happens at every show. Long lines. Sometimes you get that one guest that's very fan-friendly and therefore slows down the line considerably. Yeah, that happens. No problem. But what happened this time around is they had a guest that, and you know what, I'm going to call that guest out. They decided, Monstermania decided, we're going to have, because he's been in a lot of horror, a lot of action horror, to be fair, that celebrity was Gary Busey. Like him, hate him, whatever. And he was getting a lot, I guess he had a lot of folks come up to his table and do autographs. And like a lot of celebrities nowadays, some celebrities like, hey, let's say, yeah, $40 for a signature, $30 for a selfie at the table. If you want both, let's say $60. But if you want a professional photo op, it's going to be, you know, a separate ticket. Let's say that's going to be $40 at a separate spot. That's atypical for a lot of events, whether it be Four State, Monstermania, Otakon, Baltimore, AwesomeCon, what have you. That's atypical. That's now the norm. And what happened was, at some point, Gary Busey, the details were not disclosed to what exactly happened, but apparently Gary Busey sexually assaulted not just one, but several guests, several ticket holders. Is this, was this called for? No. What exactly happened? We don't know. It wasn't released. There was no press release other than this incident happened. It came out through various sources that Gary Busey sexually assaulted a few ticket holders. Again, nothing was released or as to what happened. I guess until it was everything is fully said and done, meaning that he might have touched someone in a spot that they did not give permission for, or what have you. That could be the case, but either way, he did it. And according to the press release given by Monster Mania and those behind Monster Mania, they said as soon as we found out, let me backtrack to give a little bit more context, our favorite thing in the world to kind of tell you. For those of you who are new to the show, we have a kind of a quasi-drinking game. If you hear words like allegedly, in context, and so forth and so on, you're supposed to take the drink. Now, for further context, I initially heard the fact that a police report was filed in Cherry Hill. That's where Monster Mania is held, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. That a police report was filed in regards to Gary Busey doing sexual assault. And that he was formally charged. And that he was currently, as far as they, the Cherry Hill PD, or that county's police department, was saying that he was currently in California at the time. And they were trying to get him back to Cherry Hill, back to New Jersey, to for these charges. Then Monster Mania released a kind of a press release and posted that press release on Facebook and various outlets in regards to what happened and so forth and so on, and their policies in regards to this type of incident happening at their events. And what, to kind of paraphrase what it said, they said that they got a report from two ticket holders saying that Gary Busey assaulted them sexually, or did this sexual assault. They said, okay, we're going to deal with this, but first we insist you file a police report. We want you to file a police report. Don't let this go unreported. File that police report. Which is from a host standpoint, yeah, that's fine. That's dandy. And secondly, they said, we're going to handle this right now. And from what we now know, those ticket holders did file a police report. And what the folks at Monster Mania included in their press release, they said, they didn't mention the person's name, but it came out in public, so that's why I'm saying the person's name. They told Gary, hey, whatever you do, you can't stay here. We got some reports that you did some bad stuff. You're no longer welcome at our event. The press release said, we spoke to this celebrity guest, saying, we got these incident reports in. You could stay at the hotel. We booked you for the hotel for the duration of the event. You could stay there, stay at the hotel for the remainder of the event until it's time to leave, time to go home. But you're not welcome at the event, period. We find you at the event, we're calling the cops. Basically, that was it. What the rest of the press release stated. They pretty much told him, Gary, we got some stuff in. Because this is now an issue, whatever you do, you can't stay here. Leave. Go. Shoo. Pack your shit. Go home. We'll take you home now or what have you. That's perfect. And they went on to say, we have a zero tolerance policy in regards to this sort of thing happening. Zero tolerance. And this brings back a memory in regards to what happened, I want to say, more than 10 years ago. It's going on 10 years ago. Maybe 12 years ago, back to 2010, maybe 2011. It's no secret that we are, at least I'm a former fan of the now defunct podcast, Slacker and the Man. And they were talking about, they constantly went to, you know, they'd go to events near them, whether it be MegaCon or some sort of local convention in Tampa or another smaller event in Orlando or what have you. They'd always go to events when time and funds allowed them to do, and they covered those events. Sometimes they'd stay a night and have a live, if fans of the show were there, they'd have like something in their room saying, hey, we're doing a live recording. You guys could, you know, come and be a part of that recording and pipe in, so forth and so on. And that made the beauty of the show. Now, here's the aspect. One year, Gates McFadden, who was a guest at one of these events, she got sexually assaulted. That's right. A fan approached her. I'm not sure they touched her upper torso or touched her butt. Either way, she got sexually assaulted on the way out with her. I think the event, if memory serves, she was leaving the venue for the day and a fan came up to her and touched her inappropriately. And I think the fan did get arrested for it and was charged. I just don't remember. Again, this was like 10, 12 years ago. It's hard to remember details back then. I just remember the core aspect of the incident. And I was one of the few folks when we first heard that, hey, Gates McFadden got sexually assaulted. Our first instinct was to look at the main host of Slacker and the Man. Why? Because he had the biggest crush on Gates McFadden at the time. And we were like, hey, dude, you do this? The fuck? And he was like, he took it in stride. He's like, dude, honestly, it was not me. It was not. As much as I'm willing to take the fall for this, it was not me. Heck, despite everything I say on the show in regards to X, Y, and Z and how it comes across, I would never do that to a celebrity. I'd never do that to a woman. I'd never do this, that, and other thing. He was the first person to come on air and say this shit. And didn't, you know, denying, it's like, listen, I'm going to take the ribbing in stride. I take the ribbing from all you fans in stride. But it's something I would never do. Never do. And if I did do it, either inappropriate, I'd be the first person to, you know, go turn myself in, so forth and so on, and nip everything in the bud right away. And we're like, all right. But he took the ribbing in stride. But that's the case in point. And is something, even though the main host of Slack and the Man, he knew a lot of people behind the scenes. Even, I think at that point, they're like, dude, as much as you're a friend, you're not allowed back in if he did such a thing. And he would completely understand. And he'd never dish out dirty laundry. But on that note, there are a lot of things going on. Maybe we'll do more things, try to get more people in to talk about what's going on in the gaming community, what's going on in the wrestling community, and so forth and so on. There's another few episodes I want to get out there as well. They're lost media type episodes. I hope you'll enjoy those as well when we release those. The reason why I say that, I hope you enjoy those, because there was an offshoot. Heck, I'll tease you with that. Because I'll explain them better in those lost media episodes in regards to them. I know you guys and gals will enjoy them. They're new, they're fresh, or at least fresh to you. No one's heard these episodes in, I want to say, again, 12 years. Heck, the episodes themselves, I don't think lasted more than 6 months. So maybe I'll bring in some of those and mix those in with some of our, maybe reissue our Electric Eye episodes. So you guys have some sort of weekly content in regards to what we said. And I'll go through those and hope you enjoy those. And post out something in regards to everything. I don't know what I'm going to do. To me, heck, Electric Eye stuff is lost media stuff because it's not published anymore. And since a lot of our Electric Eye stuff might not be in the queue anymore in regards to published on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or other venues that are out there, it allows some of you who are listening to our stuff what we said in the past, and it'll provide a type of weekly content until we get some sort of new stuff in. And I'll label those stuff Lost Media and the name of the show and so forth and so on. I hope you'll enjoy those. And till then, I'm the Reverend Godfather, and this has been a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. See you guys later.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.